listening to After Dark number 4, and this is tape number 3. If you're like me and live and die radio, you can probably sit down and make a list of, say, a dozen or so people who you remember from the 50s, 60s, and 70s as being the top personality disc jockeys of that time. You remember their style, you remember the music that they play, you remember what they said, and you remember how they said it. It's a memory that never seems to fade away because at that time and in that era of radio, it was personality radio. It was a time when liner cards were not around. It was a time when automation was never even thought of. It was a time when the disc jockey talked one-on-one to you, the listener. On this edition of After Dark, we're going to talk to a guy who had as much to do for the success of Top 40 radio as he had for rhythm and blues. That guy is Wolfman Jack. So let's give a listen. It's indeed an honor and a privilege to be talking to you, Wolfman. I have to admit, it's a little bit more of a privilege in that I used to run your show on WTTO back in Toledo in the early 70s.
Really?
Yes, really. I was the guy that would be playing the tape and inserting those liners, and then later on I says, well, I'll never meet up with Wolfman, and a couple of years later I went to work for WEAQ up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and there you were again. So it's really an honor talking to you.
Well, it's good to be talking to you too, Fred.
Well, let me ask you a few questions about some of the early years. Can you tell me about this guy by the name of Daddy Jules?
Well, when I first started on radio, it was way back in the early 1960. That's when I first started on radio, and I love rhythm and blues, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I made up a character called Daddy Jules at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I went on a station called WYOU in Newport News, Virginia.
Huh.
And it was a daytime station, signed off at sunset, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the afternoon drive time, and it was Daddy Jules time in the afternoon. And I played rhythm and blues, and it was basically a black radio station. And we used to, in this building we broadcasted from, we had a broadcast studio right in the middle on the top floor, and then there was a great big studio next to it. So we'd invite all the kids in to dance after school, and we put candy machines and soda machines in there, and a little microphone button thing where they could call in their requests while Daddy Jules was on the air.
Hmm.
So I would play requests for them, and they would dance live in the studio there and also take call-in requests outside. And that was back in the 60s.
Well, the music of, when you say rhythm and blues, are you talking about the rhythm and blues like was predominant that they used to talk about, like with Elvis type of rhythm and blues?
No, we're talking about like
this was.
I was talking like Fats Domino and Muddy Waters and,
okay.
And Jimmy Reed and B.B. King and Ray Charles and mostly black artists.
Was that very predominant back in that area of the country?
Well, that's where rock and roll started from. You see that
mm-hmm.
that's what rock and roll originally was. It was rhythm and blues. It was the Afro-American culture creeping into our white culture creating this great rock and roll music, and originally it was rhythm and blues. Originally it was, you know, all the great black artists. And then kids like Elvis grew up listening to it, and Jerry Lee Lewis and people like that. And it caught a hold of their souls, so they added their unique styles to it. And more white people started to join the black ranks, and instead of rhythm and blues became rock and roll. Alan Freed back in those days, and there was a record, I forget who the artist was, but it was Millie Smith or something like that, who used to sing, I'm going to rock you, daddy, and I'm going to roll you all night long.
Mm-hmm.
So from that record, he took the term rock and roll from a rhythm and blues record and named the music rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he started doing that in 57. I came on the scene in 60. Now, in 1960, rock and roll was still not a predominantly heavy thing at that time. It was just in certain areas. They would have it like in the afternoons or nighttime shows, you know, there'd be special jocks that would do what they call rock and roll shows. You know, Hylett did something in Chicago, and Dick Biondi was in Chicago, rather, and Hylett was in Boston or something, and Alan Freed was in New York. And I was not on a rock and roll station. I was on a black radio station playing rhythm and blues, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a whole lot of white people along with the black people who loved rhythm and blues, and we didn't like these disc jockeys coming on the air calling our music rock and roll. It was rhythm and blues. You understand?
Yeah.
And then from there on in, you know, when the Beatles hit in 1964, it really became rock and roll, because then the whole world joined in on the on the situation. And then rhythm and blues became strictly a black thing, and then that term even changed. They started calling it soul music.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all American music, you know. It came originally from the great Afro-American people originally, and it originally came from the old spirituals and the old blues, you know?
Yeah. So the station...
That's the roots of rock and roll.
So the station, the music that you played was actually just a block off the normal time. They had a different format during different parts of the day then.
No, we were all black all day.
Oh, was it?
Played rhythm and blues all day long.
Oh, my gracious, I tell you. Oh, I passed out six times while that record was playing, man. I knew I shouldn't have partied tonight. You dig it. I mama told me not to come, because you know what that is. Yes, yes, the dog, baby.
Want some whiskey and you want to show in your tea.
Well, what was the radio like back then? I mean, most of us who are working in it today are used to the... You know, the pristine equipment, high-tech CD players and stuff. What was it like working in a station such as that?
Well, we had a board, you know, with a bunch of knobs on it, and then the one knob was for your microphone, and then they had two turntables usually hooked up to it, and a couple of cartridge machines. You know, you put the cartridges in, and where you played your spots with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you played the records, you know.
Well, you know, for some of us that have seen the movie American Graffiti, there was a classic shot of you sitting there behind the board.
That was just about what it was like, yeah.
Well, was it? Okay. Because yeah, I even have one of those old Collins cart machines here in our studio that just sits here for show. But it's something else to believe that, you know, those things were actually used on the air.
There's... Yeah, the equipment has definitely improved over the years, man. You know, I mean, it wasn't real high-tech back in those days. Matter of fact, it was really cool, you know, to not have to cue records. You became really great when you could just pop it on the turntable, and while you were talking, you'd lift the needle and set it on the record, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd go over and turn the pot up while you're still talking, and when the record banged in, you know, you'd introduce it. And that's basically the way things went, you know?
Yeah. Well, when did you make the change to Wolfman Jack? Now, that had to come a couple years later then.
Well, see, as a little kid, I always was fascinated with those big Mexican border stations. And I found out through history that when radio was born, it was originally AM radio.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave out about 50 clear channels in the United States. Now, an AM clear channel means that there's nobody else within 20 kilocycles on each side of that particular channel, and nobody else on there at night. And that means that that thing could be, they granted it, the FCC granted them 50,000 watts maximum power. That means they would cover at night maybe 3,000 to 4,000 miles
mm-hmm.
in every direction. Now, in Mexico and Canada, they only gave out 6 or 7 clear channels to each country, and that was the agreement between the three countries. But in Mexico and Canada, they allowed them on their clear channels to go unlimited power, which means if they could produce 1,000,000 watts, they could go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the United States had all the clear channel positions. So in Mexico, there was about 5 of them. One of the most powerful ones was XERF below the border down there at Del Rio, Texas, in Vicuña, Coahuila, Mexico. And that's the station that always fascinated me, you know? And while I was working at in Newport News, I met my wife. I got married. And we moved to Shreveport, Louisiana. And I had part ownership in a country music station there. And there I was Big Smith with the records, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Played country music. I still had a fascination for XERF. And finally one day we just went down, decided to visit XERF. We found out that the station was in trouble. It was in receivership. And there was an opportunity to become the U.S. representative for the station and take over the radio station. It was a very lucky break. So we moved in and took it over. There was a whole lot of problems that went on with the people who were running it. We got involved in a big gun battle with them and stuff like that, but we won, and I always had this character, Wolfman Jack, you know, the happy-go-lucky dude that's honorable and like the wolves, and I wanted to put him on the air, so I did. So he went on the air from midnight to 4 o'clock in the morning, and I covered North America with him. Now, this is between about 62 and to 64. And on that station, you could drive from New York to Los Angeles, and you could get that station, XERF. And during the early part of the evening, from 7 till about midnight, we ran all these prayer cloth preachers, you know,
because
mm-hmm. they paid the freight, basically. And then after midnight, I put the Wolfman on the air, hawking mail order items, you know, like record packages and
money order. And, of course, you remember, if you live up in Canada, or if you live out of the United States of America, man, you got to send an extra dollar along with the order. And, of course, it's $3.50 plus 50 cents for postage and handling, and make it $4 altogether, cash or money order. Now, remember what I say now. You're getting 48 hits, baby. The fantastic 48 for just $3.50. Plus 50 cents for postage and handling. Now, we're going to name off 24 songs, and then we're going to play another record, and then we're going to name off 24 more songs. I'm going to give you the address now, too. If you want to order this fantastic record package, you send cash or money order for $4 to the fantastic 48 XERF, Del Rio, Texas. Now, remember that address now, man. You send $4 cash or money order to the fantastic 48 XERF, Del Rio, Texas. 24 songs, baby. Here we're going to read off 24 of them right now. Get as many as we can in here, and then we're going to play another record. Here's one of the albums. I Think We're Alone Now by Tommy James and the Shondells. King of Drag by the Buckinghams. Cherry Cherry by Neil Diamond. Turn Down Day by the Clara. And also Jenny Take a Ride by Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. My Little Red Book by The Love. Woolly Bully by Sam the Sham. It's All Right by J.J. Jackson. Just played that. Little Girl by the Syndicate of Sound. See You in September by the Tempos. That Is Home, Shep and the Limelighters. Where the Fools Fall in Love, Frankie Lyman. Western Union, The Five Americans. Sunny by Bobby Head. Daydream, 11 Spoonful, Good Lovin', The Young Rascals. I Got You, Babe by Sunny and Cheer. Pushing Too Hard to See. Land of a Thousand Dances, Wilson Pickett. Younger Girl by The Critters. I Who Have Nothing by Terry Knight in the Pack. Bermuda by the Four Seasons. G by the Crows. Maybe by the Chantels. That's just one album.
Well, that station was like...
I wasn't the first one to do it. John Richburg, John R. from WLAC in Nashville.
Yeah.
WLAC was the first one to take their clear channel frequency at night. It was a CBS station during the daytime, WLAC.
Mm-hmm.
And at night they'd go rhythm and blues, and they'd run a bunch of mail order stuff for the people, you know, record packages and things like that. Because there wasn't a whole lot of service for the black community in those different rural areas that they covered, you know.
What caused you to leave XCRF? I mean, was it just other interests?
It's a very long story, man. Matter of fact, I'm writing a book about it, which will be out next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a whole thing about the station owed a certain amount of money to the government. That's why it was in receivership. And when we took the station over, we made money, and we were not crooked, you know. We were straight people, and we paid off the government. So in a period of 2 years, all the bills were paid, and the station reverted back to the original owners.
Ah.
And then when the original owners took over, I moved on out. They still kept Wolfman on the air, but we moved on out, and I moved down to Minneapolis. We bought a station in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was running Wolfman on three of the border blasters, on XCG and XCRB and XCRF. And I found out XCRB was doing so well. I made a deal with the owner out there of that Mexican station, which covered California and L.A. and San Diego and San Francisco and all those markets. And I took over XCRB and made it into a rhythm and blues black gospel station, and ran a lot of great jockeys on the air, guys like Magnificent Montague and Fat Daddy Washington and Wolfman Jack, and it was quite a station in XCRB. And of course that broadcasted from Baja California, which is right below Tijuana, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And that covered Los Angeles day and night like a local station, and our major market was of course Los Angeles, you know.
Yeah.
So I stayed there till about 1967-68. And then I made too much money there. I mean, it's a long story, man. You're talking about a lot of history. It would take hours and hours to explain the details of how all these things happened. And but to put everything in a nutshell, basically, I was doing what I wanted to do. I was playing that good rhythm and blues, having a great time doing it, and being my silly self and everything, and without even knowing it, really, I was creating a lot of good moments for people out there, and making them feel good, which was what I was trying to do anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and selling them good products. I've always been there for the public, you know. I always had a good time.
Come, oh my grace, I had the honor of unveiling a beautiful statue of myself in the backyard here recently, and it's a pretty red, white, and blue statue, friends. It's made out of bronze, cement, and plaster Paris. And I tell you, it's a pretty thing. I'll invite you over sometime to see it. Anyway, let's get down with War, Gypsy Man.
Well, you know, it seems like there's really two kinds of people in broadcasting. There's the guys that go in just to make the jack, as they say, and then there's the guys who enjoy the job, enjoy the money, but they also just enjoy what they do. You sound like you really enjoy being on the air and entertaining folks.
Well, that's what I do, man. That's where I get the most enjoyment from and the biggest rewards from, you know. And then I went on the American Forces Radio Network. That was a big joy for me because I was over there in Vietnam with the guys and everything. And I was able to entertain them over there. And they still keep coming at me today, kissing me and loving me for being over there with them. And I'm in the happiness business. That's what I call it. I'm in the happiness business. And when you're in the happiness business, that means that you are giving happiness to people. And when people get happiness, they want to give you happiness back. So that's basically what it's all about.
Well, do you think that with changes in radio that have been going on, more stations doing jocks with liner cards and stuff, that guys like you, Wolfman Jack, and some of the celebrities that were on in the 60s and 70s are going to be remembered in years to come? Or do you think radio's changing?
Well, I'm still on the air in a lot of places. I'm still on every night in San Francisco and, you know, every Saturday in Los Angeles. And I'm still on every once in a while in New York and Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going to be on the air with a regular thing start next year on Saturday nights. So, I mean, I'm not old and forgotten. I am a dinosaur, but shit, I'm only about 54 years old, you know.
We're all getting there, Wolf. We're all getting there.
Yeah, but I ain't that old, man. I'm still here, you know. I'm still ready to have fun with the folks. And we got a show running all the time called Wolfman Jack's Fabulous 50s and 60s. We've done about 75 of them this year. They've all been sellouts.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I'm writing a book for next year to tell everybody about the story. And I ain't over by any means, you know.
Just heard Led Zeppelin go boogie now with Elton John, baby, Saturday night.
Personalities like yourself who've been around for a long time, you know, have a phenomenal draw on radio because it's you know the person. It's not like listening to a station where you have some nobody that just came out of broadcasting school. When you hear Wolfman, you say, "Hey, I know that guy, and I like listening to him."
I appreciate that, Fred. I mean, I just want to do what I can for humanity. You know, especially in today's day and age with. Mm-hmm. You got so many young people, they got no heroes to really hang on to, and they got nobody that they can really know right from wrong from, you know. It's a tough situation, man. And I've been on the air for 33 years, and I have never screwed the public one time. I've always been there for them, man. I've always been there to give them the best that I can give them.
I think you do that too, Wolf.
And I can honestly say that I never took any payola. I never let money enter into the situation where it came to the public. I always made money. I never had any problem making money. I mean, I could make money being on the air or off the air. That's no problem hustling money, man. My family, I've been married 33 years. I've been married 33 years, been on the air 35 years. I got two kids still working with me, and my whole family's with me here down in North Carolina now.
Mm-hmm.
We used to live in Beverly Hills, you know.
Yeah.
I got tired of La La Land, man. I had to get out of there.
Now people
are getting weird up there. They just people are getting selfish and crazy.
Now you're from the East, aren't you? From North Carolina, or?
Well, my wife is. She's from this part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. And that's where I was born, in Brooklyn, New York.
Yes.
I lived there until I was about 15 years old.
Now that's Something else. It's a real career, I'll tell you, that you know, you've had. And I'm looking forward to getting that book. That's got to be a real interesting piece.
Well, it'll show you how radio developed, mm-hmm. and also show you what a great contribution that the black people gave to our rock and roll music. Because, and I'm also hoping that it'll show that this stupid thing of being a racist and, you know, worrying about the color of somebody's skin and all this might help it go away a little bit. Because, I mean, we've all contributed to this American culture so much. We're all really Americans, and we got a great culture going for us if we don't screw it up, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Now, when you're writing this book right now, correct?
Yeah, I'm writing it right now. I'm about up to chapter 14. I'm about one quarter of the way. It'll be out next year.
So sometime mid next year, sometime we can expect it.
Yeah, it's being published by a good company. You know, the Time Life people. You know, Warner. It's going to be good distribution and everything. And they give me a lot of money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask them for it. They came running for me. You know, so.
Well.
So I decided to sit down and write. Of course, you know, I did one of the finest rock and roll TV shows that was ever on television, which was a midnight special.
I remember that.
And there was every act in the rock and roll business came through my doorway one time or another, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All the greats. I mean, anybody you can really think of right now, I've been involved with in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to get to know them and be there with them in their prime, you know. And we're all good friends.
Speaking of music, let me ask you the question I've always wondered. Wolfman Jack had a song out, so to speak, by the Guess Who called Clap for the Wolfman. Now, how did that start?
Well, you know, a funny thing, I've had about 20 songs written about the Wolfman one way or the other.
Have you?
Yeah, Todd Rundgren wrote a song, Wolfman Jack, and then I don't even have a collection of them. You know, I was telling my family the other day that we ought to try to find that music and maybe put out an album with this book or something, you know?
I think that's an excellent idea.
And but there's a lot of songs been written about the Wolfman. Clap for the Wolfman, Burton Cummings and I became good friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the Guess Who was doing real good at the time, and he happened to write a song called Clap for the Wolfman. And I remember doing that with him. I was up in Toronto doing a gig, and we spent a couple of days in the studio just having a good time doing that song. And it went to, like, number 5 on the charts. And there's at least 20 songs that mentions Wolfman Jack in the lyric. You know, maybe it's not about Wolfman Jack. There's another song by Freddie King called Living on the Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another song about couple of country songs. There's one by Tammy Wynette, I'd Like to See Jesus on the Midnight Special. I'd like to see the Wolfman bring him on, you know?
Yeah.
So all together, I mean, I can't even remember all the songs, but there's at least 20 songs. And one of these days, I guess I'll try to get them organized and get them all together and put them all on some album, you know?
Well, I'll tell you.
I'm not the kind of guy that keeps my news clippings or, you know, or does that kind of thing. I don't have pictures of me hanging on the wall or nothing. You know, I'm not that kind of guy. I just like doing what I'm doing. And in my mind, the only thing that I feel good about is what I'm doing today, you know?
Yeah.
Not what I did yesterday. I'm grateful for that. But I want to be great at what I'm doing today. What I'm doing today, I want to help somebody. I want to get somebody off today. And I hope I'm getting you off at least, Fred. You know what I mean?
it's a real treat talking to you, Wolf. I'll tell you.
Well, see, I'm doing some good today, then. I'm getting you off, at least you're getting off.
I'll tell you.
You're probably getting a whole lot of people out there listening to you off right now.
Pursuit of happiness is where it's at right here, baby. But I'm going to take the happiness of pursuit right now with Bill Withers. And I just say, use me, mama, use me.
My friend, yeah.
You know, when I heard you on radio, it was like, hey, that's the Wolfman. I like this guy.
Well, thank you, man. That's very nice of you to say that, and it pleasures me to talk to you. And I know you're doing good for your public. I know you are.
Well, I hope so, at least.
Yeah, I know you are, man. You feel good to me. I know you're doing good, and I know the public knows you're doing good.
Well,
you see, you can't fool those folks out there, man. They know when you're being selfish, and they know when you're there for them, you know?
That's true.
And when you're there for them, they take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the way.
If you do right, you come out right, baby, and I tell you, that's the only way to live.
The Carpenters, we've only just begun. I want you to take hold of somebody's hand right now. You can feel the beating of their heart, the very substance of their life. Remember, your mind is the energy. Your hands, the projection of that energy. Now use your hand and touch the person next to you. First touch the forehead, and then the eyes, and then the lips, and then the chin, and the shoulder, and then the chest. Now touch the hips and the legs. Yes, yes, baby. When you touch somebody, you can feel the love vibrations. Let your hands become the joining together of you and another human being. Let the extension of your heart, the merging of two rivers, the grafting of two branches, the birth of new life. Your hands are you. Like George Harrison say, give me love.
Give me love.
Let me ask you another quick question about music, because you're doing this show with the 50s and 60s music. What do you think the draw is to the music? I mean, you know, some of the newer program directors are saying that, you know, oldies is going to die. It's going to die, but you still see stations playing it, and you still hear, you know, your show as well as others on the air. What is the draw to the oldies music?
Well, the only thing I can say is it's great music, you know. Whatever it comes out today is just, you really can't reproduce what happened then. You know, you can add new technology to it, make the music sound better, you know. You got synthesizers and computers and all that other stuff going now, but that was a lot of great songs. See, back in the old days, man, when the 60s, you know, through the 60s and through the 70s, you talk about classic songs, we had at least 100 of them each year.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you're lucky to get maybe 5 or 6 each year, you know?
Yeah.
And the reason is because back in those days, the money people weren't involved. You know, they didn't have the big syndicate money people behind them. Now people figured out, well, you know, in order to get a hit record, if we do this, that, and the other thing, we spend $1 million over here and $1 million over here, and we work this out, and this demographic here will work here. We could, and then MTV came in and started adding all these sexual images to the music, and sex sells a whole lot of stuff, you know. It could be the worst piece of crap in the world, but if it looks sexy, boy, you're going to buy it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well,
but back in the old days, it made it strictly on its own merit. So you had to really produce something good.
Well,
I think the innocence of it, too, helped a lot.
Well, there was a lot more standards in broadcasting, too, back then, weren't there? I mean,
Well, yeah, I mean, but still, it was the innocence of that, just that good old rockin' beat, you know, the basic rhythm and blues concept is just good old blues and down home, romp, stomp, and get down with your bad self kind of music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it made you feel good. It brought you up nothing but fun and romance.
Yeah.
And nowadays, people, you know, started with the Vietnam War, with the protest songs, and now a lot of the rap music is nothing but protest music, you know? And a lot of the rap music is great music. You know, a lot of guys do a lot of silly stuff with it, which is really good. A lot of good stuff going on there in the black community. But most of it's protest stuff. And people don't really want to hear that stuff. You know, they, black or white, they just want to live in peace and have a good time, you know?
Yeah. Now, but, what did you as both an artist and a performer, what do you see is going to happen to radio and the music industry? Do you think that you're going to see lyrics clear up and music get back to basics?
I think that with so much going on and who knows how far the technology is going to go, I think eventually you'll have satellite radios. And you'll have maybe 100 channels to choose from. And they'll be the same channels all over the United States, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think eventually I'm not saying right away. I'm talking like, you know, maybe 50 years down the road.
Yeah.
But right now, because, I mean, mostly all they do is duplicate formats in every market. And most of them carry satellite formats, you know?
Yeah.
So why not just run the same damn thing from the satellite and pick it up on a satellite receiver, you know? But right now they're bringing it down through the satellite, through the radio station, to you in the car. And I think eventually the technology will be with all this digital mixing and everything, where they take out all the distortion. And see, I think sometimes you see a lot of the old music, when they re-EQ'd it, put it on CDs, and lost a lot of the distortion, they lost a lot of the funkiness of the beat and made it too clean. And I think that had a lot to do with the feeling of it.
That's true.
And so some of it, and there's so much, you see, the reason why oldies will never die is because we really haven't scratched the surface on the oldies yet.
Mm-hmm.
All they're playing is the top 1,500 records.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking strictly oldies radio.
Right.
In classic rock, they're only playing about the top 600 records.
Mm-hmm.
And then they add in extra album cut things, which gives them about a 1,500 playlist.
Right.
But there's about almost 12,000 great records that have never been played on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And that program directors are just now starting to get into, because the oldies format, you know, it gets old hearing the Diamonds do Little Darling, you know, and the same old crap. Mm-hmm. They want to hear some of the other stuff they did, too, because they had a lot of hits. So now they're digging in and finding out that these groups had other hits. And like I say, they're only playing 1,500 of the top records. There's about 6,000 to 12,000 of them.
Are they still around, though?
Oh, yeah, man. They're coming out on CDs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about the new technology is all the old stuff is being dug up and remixed and digitally, you know, mixed and all that stuff, so it sounds just as good as it was made today. And, you know, it's all coming around.
Mm-hmm.
And radio will always be open to any kind of a creative thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you know, people like Howard Stern and Rush Limbaugh, and they're the personalities of today, you know, because they get on the air and all they do is talk.
Mm-hmm.
And shock jock stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's fine, but I'm talking about getting down, rocking and rolling, having a good time playing music. There's not too many of those kind of jocks around anymore, because radio stations just don't want to give anybody the freedom to do that for some reason. I don't know why. They do it in Chicago on the loop. There's a few stations that do it, that do whatever they want to do, you know, play music, talk, whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Nope. Which is good listening. But I think whatever goes around comes around, like they say, you know. There'll always be room for personalities. There'll always be room for Wolfman Jack kind of things. There'll be room for everything, you know?
George Harrison on the Wolfman Jack Show. Give me love. Are you ready? We go rock and roll.
with the Ides of March. Get down.
Now, if Wolfman Jack was to go out tomorrow and buy a radio station, what kind of format would you have?
I'd play what I like to call the honky-tonk sound in today's music. I'd play artists like Lyle Lovett, you know, and B.B. King, and, you know, all the funky acts.
Yeah. Have you ever, at any time in your career, have you ever just thought about getting on a radio, or is this your love in life?
No, I love radio, man. There's a thing you can do with radio that you can't do with any other media.
Mm-hmm.
And you create the theater of the mind. Whatever you do in radio, you create the theater of the mind. Just being a talk station where you talk to people on the telephone or you just discuss your own mind, you know, you don't really create anything. But if you use music and sound effects and things happening, you can create anything. You can move people in ways that it would cost you millions of dollars to do with a movie picture. It costs you thousands of dollars to do on a television show.
Right.
But on radio, you can do it for no money at all if you know how to do it. And it's a theater of the mind, man. It's the kind of thing that I do. It's the theater of the mind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, that will never die.
Great God in heaven, you know I love you.
Hi, Wolfman Jack. My very own radio program is heard right here on WEAQ each Saturday night from 6 to midnight.
79Q, WEAQ.
Hey, baby, get the bathroom, turn out the lights. Gonna be playing music to sneak around in the dark. I'm a lark in the dark, get it on.
What are you going to do in the future? What are you up to?
Well, like I told you, I'm writing this book. I've been doing for about 3 years this show I do on the road,
mm-hmm.
The Wolfman Jack's Fabulous 50s and 60s. I do a lot of I'm working every week, man. I'm out on the road every week. You know, and do a lot of commercials, do a lot of stuff. I keep myself busy, and I don't see any changes being made. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Who knows, I might be doing see, the talk show thing is happening right now,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to go through this era, you know, and the TV talk shows,
mm-hmm.
Since everybody and anybody got a talk show nowadays, you know. I mean, you look at TV, man, you got talk shows all over the place. You got talk shows all over the place on radio. So pretty soon it'll come around and go want music shows again. And then get tired of the talk, want music. And I think that time's coming up here pretty shortly. I'll be back in the swing of things again, you know. In the meantime, I'll keep entertaining people. I'm usually appearing in somebody's town every weekend, and I'm also on the radio in your market sometime or another. You know, where are you calling from, by the way?
I'm calling from Lima, Ohio, where you just were.
Yeah, right. Well, we just did a show there.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It was a very successful show.
Yeah, you didn't wave to me. I was waving for way in the
back.
Yeah, sure was.
Well, did you enjoy the show?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was fabulous.
That's the kind of thing we've been doing, man, and we've been having a lot of success with it,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of people enjoying it and everything, and we're just gearing up to do some more next year, make them bigger and better, you know?
Gonna bring her way down in here. Gonna do Cross Country's record on the Wolfman Jack Show in the midnight.
Well, it's been a real treat talking with you, Wolf, and I hope we can do this again sometime.
Okay, well, listen, good luck to you, man, and I know you do good, and thank you very much for calling me, babe.
Thank you.
All right.
Wolfman Jack, he plants a seed. Wolfman Jack, fill all your needs. Wolfman Jack, he tell the truth. Yeah.
tell you, Mama, I went to a flower shop the other day, you understand, to buy my main squeezer, a posy or two, you dig it. But the place was so expensive, all I could afford was the leaves, you know. But I got this friend who deals in leaves, so I bought an ounce of leaves from him and gave the leaves to my main squeeze. Now, I tell you, I think she was happier with the leaves than she would have been with the flowers.
Oh, gracious, my lady. Here come the Isleys.
And we hope that you enjoyed listening to Wolfman Jack and myself talk about radio and about his life and some history and what's going to happen in the future with radio. Very, very interesting. And coming up on side number two of After Dark number four, tape number three, we're going to get into some history and also some technical information. So stay tuned to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, After Dark number four.
Hey, stories. Just remember, baby, while you're getting high out there, I'm getting high right here on a natural high. That's why our heads all gonna be in the right place. Yes, 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 they are. Oh, my goodness. Gonna play two in a row, Neil Diamond and the Four Tops.
This is the DX Audio Service.